Now we're going to continue here on our series, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. This is the portion here that we're dealing with here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And with this, we're focusing on now the future of both believers, and that is both the dead and the living. As I said earlier, we may say, well, that doesn't make any sense. How can the dead have a future? So as you're turning to 1 Thessalonians, I would like you to consider this. What if we lived in a total different world? Let's say that, yeah, Yeshua came and he died upon the tree. And yes, we become born again. But he was raised from the dead. But at the moment when we die, that's it. There's no eternal life. There's no going forward. And when we be beside a graveside of our loved one who gave and put their trust and love into Messiah, they became born again, but then they died, and that was it. What a terrible world that would be. I share that with you to consider, because this was the consideration of those who Rav Shaul was ministering to, who did not have a Hebraic mindset. Because in the book of Daniel and through the prophets, they spoke that one day that there would be a resurrection of those who would receive eternal life, those that honored God the Father with their lives. But there would also be a resurrection of those who did not obey Abba, Father God. And their destiny was to be eternally separate. And so Rav Shaul is speaking to both camps here, both those of a Jewish heritage and also those from the nations who believe that once you die, that's it. That's why live, make merry, this is all that's here. Basically what atheists believe, that once you're dead and that's it. So celebrate, take life, get gusto as much as you can. And that was their perspective. So now let us turn to the scripture here. Because we don't want to go about someone's speculation or someone's opinion, but what does the word of God, which speaks the truth, pertain to the life of a human being who does not know the Lord and the life of a human being who knows the Lord and then dies? What happens to their body? What happens to their soul and their spirit? Is their soul and spirit there within their body as their body breaks down and decays and it just remains? The scripture declares that they immediately, absence from the body, immediately in the presence of the Lord, both soul and spirit. But the body remains. Why? Because it has not been glorified. It cannot go into the presence of the Spirit of the living God until it's been glorified. So let us begin in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Therefore, brothers, just as you've learned from us how to live in order to please God, just as you're living this way now, we ask you indeed, united with Messiah Yeshua, we urge you to keep on doing more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you on the authority of the Lord Yeshua. What God wants us to be is holy. That's to separate ourselves from the influence of this world. It coincides a lot with what Alan shared today. That God has set us apart, and we should recognize that. Our motivation, our actions should reflect that we've been set apart for the honor and glory of God. And so when we approach him, we should have the right mindset, attitude, relationship, horizontally and vertically in every aspect. Praise be unto God. What God wants is that you be holy, that you keep away from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to manage his sexual impulses in a holy and honorable manner, without giving into lustful desires like the pagans who do not know God. No one should wrong his brother in this matter or take advantage of him, because Yeshua punishes all who do such things, as we have explained to you before at length. For God did not call us to live an unclean life, but a holy one. Therefore, whoever rejects this teaching is not rejecting man, but God, indeed the one who gives us the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, which is his. Concerning love for the brothers, we do not have to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia, but we urge you, brothers, to do it even more. Also, make it your ambition to live quietly, to mind your own business, and to earn your own living. But your efforts, by your own efforts, just as we told you, then your daily life will gain the respect of others, and you will not be dependent on anyone. Now, brothers, we want you to know the truth about those who have died. Isn't it great that he did not say there, well, this is what we believe is going to happen, or please consider this, or what are your thoughts about this? No, it's clear. Now, brothers, and I might add their sisters, we want you to know the truth about those who have died. Otherwise, you might become sad and grieve the way other people do. Remember all this cultural background, what people believed in? But what does the Word of God say? What is the truth of God? We don't want you to be sad and to grieve the way other people do. You have nothing to hope for. For since we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, we also believe in the same way God, through Yeshua, will take with him those who have died. That's a blessing. Can you imagine those who heard this letter being read for the very first time? Because they were contemplating, well, what's going to happen? Please hang on. Please, Lord, heal brother so-and-so. Please heal sister so-and-so. Otherwise, they're going to lose out. And I'll lose them forever. Continuing. Verse 15. When we say this, we base it on the Lord's own word. Notice that. Not on speculation, not on tradition, not what we hope for, but the Lord's own word. We who remain alive when Yeshua comes will certainly not take precedence over those who have died. How often do we actually go and visit the gravesite of a loved one? For some, it's every day. For some, maybe it's once a week. For some, it's a month. For some, it's every other year, maybe remembering their birthday or some other special occasion. And so now they're getting this good news that we who are alive will not take precedence over that relationship, that intimacy with the Lord. So continuing here, praise be unto God. We who remain alive when the Lord Yeshua comes will certainly not take precedence over those who have died. Now, has he already come? Yeah, his first time. But then he's gone away. He's gone away to prepare a place for you and I in his Father's house. And he says, I'm coming back to get you. See, that's his promise to us. It's not a speculation or I'm going to try to manipulate the Father so I can bring you guys with me. No. The Father's rejoicing that one day we will all be with the Lord, both the dead and the living. Verse number 16. For the Lord himself will come down from where? From heaven. That means that he's not on the earth to fulfill this coming for us. First the dead, and those that are alive at that time. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with what? A rousing cry. Yes. God the Father will look to his Son on the right hand and say, now go and get your bride. It's time. I've inspected what you've been doing for the last 2,000 years, preparing for your bride, which are both Jews and Gentiles, who are one in Messiah, who put their trust and are longing for the bridegroom to come. Continuing here. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a rousing cry, with a call from one of the ruling angels, possibly announcing that now's the time. Can you imagine? All of heaven is rejoicing now. The fulfillment and the promise that Yeshua gave to his Talmudim originally, who were all Jews, that went forward and proclaimed the good news to everyone that would listen to them, to the four corners of the known world at that time, and people from the nations being grafted in, living, and then later dying, receiving this copies of this letter from this Thessalonian congregation, that gave them inspiration and hope that when one of their loved ones who put their faith and trust in Messiah and actually died from the writing of this letter to our present time, there has been comfort and joy knowing that that relationship with that loved one was to be eternal. And not to worry, because both the soul and the spirit were immediately in the presence of the Lord. But the Lord allowed that their physical body could remain in the grave so that we could go there to cherish their memory and to acknowledge that they lived and later they died, putting their trust and faith in God. And that when we lowered their body into their grave, like you planted a seed, that that individual one day would arise. But what day? When the Lord comes back for his bride. Remember the dead and Messiah? They will receive the presence of the Lord first. Think then that both their soul and spirit will accompany the Lord when he comes back. Praise be unto God. Let's continue here. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a rousing cry, with a call from one of the ruling angels, and with God's shofar. Does anyone blow God's shofar on this earth? Absolutely not. That shofar will be sounded in heaven. You know that in Jewish culture, after the son had entered into the covenant with his betrothed, and then he left her, and he promised that he'd come for her sometime in the future. He was going to the father's house and preparing a place for the father, and he was going through that process. And then one day the father inspected the work of his son's hands and then said, now go get your bride. That in Jewish culture and tradition, there would be the blowing of a shofar announcing that now the bridegroom was being released to go and get his bride. And he had those that accompanied him along the way. Praise be unto God. So let's continue here. With God's shofar, those who died united. Notice that. That's a key word, or united. That means into fellowship of one heart, one mind, one soul, one spirit. That talks about intimacy. Those who died united with what? With Messiah Yeshua. not in certain religion or a certain belief, but knowing Yeshua intimately as her own personal Savior, will be first to what? Rise. Then we who are still alive, and that's speaking to whom? At that moment, that divine moment, will be what? Caught up in the Latin Bible, rapturo, in the Greek Bible, harpazo, caught up. That's a snatching away. That's a lifting up. And traditionally what would happen was that they would have like a seat, a chair that was prepared in between two poles that the bridegroom's attendants would bring to the bride's house. And then the shofar would blast. He would call his bride to himself. She would come and she would sit down. And then she was lifted up on the shoulders of the attendants. And where were they going? Directly to the Father's house. Where will we be going? Directly to the Father's house. Is the Father's house on this earth? No, it is in heaven. Let us continue. Then we who are still alive will be caught up with them where? In the clouds. We're not going to go and climb Mount Everest and stand there, but we're going to be in the clouds because where's the Lord? Yeshua, he's in the clouds. His feet do not touch the earth. Our feet leave the earth. We're caught up with them, and who's them? Those who have died and rise, they receive their glorified body. Both their soul and spirit are united, and immediately go with Yeshua. But they're waiting. They're not leaving without us. Because the verse says that we who are still alive will be caught up with them in the clouds. To meet whom? Yeshua. Where? In the air. And what does it go on to say? And thus we will always be with the Lord Yeshua. And then this chapter ends this way. So comfort, encourage each other with these words. See, there's a hope for those who have died and put their trust. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If they do not bow their knee before Nebuchadnezzar and his image, his statue, then immediately they would be thrown into the furnace. And they're of this resolve, they will not bend their knee. And the Lord of glory is so blessed by their testimony and willing to die and not bow their knee to any man on this earth. And so they're placed into that furnace. And it says this, the scripture records this, that immediate those that tossed them into the furnace, they die, they perish. But here are these three men, they're walking around inside the furnace there. And they're not being harmed. And then Nebuchadnezzar, he looks, there's an opening in this furnace. And he looks. And he notices there's now a fourth individual there with them. God has prepared a way. Even though if we face death, if we honor God with our lives, that's all that matters. Praise be unto God. So now we're going to dig a little bit deeper. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The word sleep in some translations speak directly about a person who have died. See, once we die on this earth, we as believers, our work on this earth has been fully accomplished. We've met the Lord's requirements. The Lord has appointed a time for us to live. And if it be his will, appointed a time we are to die. And from with this, there's also appointed for those to receive their glorified bodies, first the dead and then the living. So these are the three areas of process. So for a believer, death is like our body, physical body coming to rest. Our soul and spirit never sleep. And so the word sleep is a euphemism for death. Now let us dig a little bit deeper. Others in Thessalonica seemed to be unsure the fate of Messianic believers in Yeshua who had died. So Shaul was well aware of such uncertainty would wreak havoc with those with the Messianic faith. So continuing. Messianic believers in Yeshua do not need to become sad about when their brothers and sisters in faith who have died. Now please understand this. Yes, we are sad up to a point, but not without hope. Because if you've ever had a loved one suffer with cancer or some other ailment, and the Lord is touching and blessing them, he's transforming them because of their illness, but it's the Lord's will that they be ushered into his presence. That truly is a healing because the cancer doesn't go with them. The ailments do not go with them. And they are finally set free. So continuing, Messianic believers in Yeshua do not need to become sad about their brothers and sisters in faith who have died, because there is a truth from God which we can know. Other people, by contrast, since have nothing to hope for, have every reason to be sad about the fate of those who have died. This does not mean that a believer will not go through a grieving process when a relative or friend passes. This is a normal emotion, but it is the expression of one's own sense of loss, not concern for the one who has died. Why? Because they go into the presence of the Lord immediately. Just in the past year plus, Pastor John Anderson went in the presence of the Lord. We would talk on the phone and sometimes in person. And he would tell me, he said, "Frank, I don't want you to continue to pray that the Lord would touch and heal me and raise me up from my bed of affliction that you've been faithfully in praying for me for these years. I'm now ready to pass over. I believe I've fulfilled everything that God desires for me to do with my life. And right now I'm focusing on relationships with extended family members. I'm in communication with them. I'm asking them to forgive me for the things that I've said and done that were inappropriate. And the Lord has given me this opportunity to get my house in order and to express love and care." And he said, "What a great testimony I have right now in that my sons and my family are now seeing evidence of my personal relationship with the Lord. Even though I'm in a lot of pain and my body is now failing me, I look forward to the time when the Lord ends my life here on earth. Because I know this according to Scripture, which I put my trust in, I believe what God's word said is true, that at that moment, my soul and spirit will immediately go in the presence of the Lord. So, Frank, I ask you now not to pray for my healing, but for the salvation of my family members who have not yet put their trust and faith in Yeshua." And so the family members were there to observe Pastor John's passing. So was the medical staff. And talking to his sister, who's an evangelist later, she commented and talked about how the presence of the Lord was in that room. Undeniable. To the medical staff, the friends and family that came, and they could see in John's eyes the peace that passes all understanding, that he was ready to walk in this next season of life. And he was rejoicing. His only burden was this: his family and friends who did not know Messiah. Praise be unto God. Continuing here. For the believer, death is gain. How do we know this? Philippians 1:21 says this. And who wrote the letter to the Philippian congregation? Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul. And this is what he wrote. For to me, life is Messiah Yeshua, and death is gain. Because he will go off to be with Messiah Yeshua in a place that he, Yeshua, is preparing for his people, both at their death and at the harpazo, being caught up. For what does John chapter 14, 1 through 4 say? These are Yeshua's own words. This was prior to him being crucified and raising from the dead. This is what says there. Don't let yourself be disturbed, that is troubled. Trust in God and also trust in me. Why was he saying that to them? So that they would then put their trust in that he is the promised Messiah and that he was not leading them astray for these past 3.5 years. That he had to fulfill the Father's will, even though they could not understand and comprehend all that was taking place. Because in their mind, when Messiah comes, he would come riding on a white horse, enter in Jerusalem, and set up the Davidic kingdom that the millennium, the 1,000 years, was to begin. And so they did not fully understand that he had to come to suffer and die and raise from the dead. So he's trying to give them comfort in this. And so that's why he says, don't let yourselves be disturbed or troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. In my Father's house are many places to live. If they weren't, I would have told you, because I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And since I'm going there preparing a place for you, I will return and take you with me. See how that fits with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Continuing here. So that where I am, you may be also. That moment is like graduation. Remember high school? When you maybe had that little covering on you, and you wore that very funny hat, and you had the tassel on one side, and then once you got your diploma, you were able to flip the tassel on the other side, and I can't remember if it was left or right, doesn't matter. Think of that moment as a graduation day when the Lord comes for us, because now we've received our glorified body, and now we're going forward. I will return to you and take you with me, so that where I am, you may be also. Furthermore, you know where I'm going. He's going to the Father. And you know the way there. Where's the way there? But through his Son. So, for this reason, Shaul, later facing execution, could write in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, all that awaits me now is the crown of righteousness, which the Lord Yeshua, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Not only me, but all those who've longed for him. And who's the him? But Yeshua to appear. His appearing. This speaks to Yeshua's coming for his bride at the harpazo rapture, being caught up. And we're going to continue here. Now contrast this with the pitiable deathbed confession of doubt, which is attributed to Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai. He's the conveyor of the Yavneh Council, which established the parameters of Judaism after the destruction of the temple and influences its character to this day. See, because once the temple was destroyed, the Levitical priesthood could no longer function. And they were driven out of the land of Israel. When did that happen? AD 70. Because remember when Yeshua with his disciples, and they were marveling, they were saying, they were pointing out to him how great the temple was. And he says, I tell you, here in the near future, not one stone will lie upon another. And that was accomplished. So continuing here. And these are his personal words, Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai. Now I'm being led before the Supreme King of Kings, the Holy One. Blessed be he who lives and endures forever and ever. If he's angry with me, he is angry forever. If he imprisons me, he imprisons me forever. If he puts me to death, he puts me to death forever. I can't persuade him with words or bribe him with money. Moreover, there are two ways ahead of me. One leads to Gan Eden, paradise, and the other to Gan Hinnom, to hell. And I don't know which one will take me. How can I do anything but weep? Think of this. This is coming from a testimony of the highest ranking rabbi who actually helped formulate rabbinical Judaism. Because the temple was destroyed, the Levitical priesthood had ended. And all his preparation of going a different way and not honoring God according to what God's word had established through the morning and evening sacrifices from his own lips, he confessed. Because he knew without the shedding of blood of an innocent animal, there was not a temporary covering. But he had the full knowledge of one that was sent to die and raise from the dead. But he chose of his own will to establish something outside the parameters that God had revealed through Moses. And now at the end of his life, he has no faith in what he's established. And he knows that he's going to face this God that set up the parameters. Nadab and Abihu went a different way. And they brought strange fire. They were instructed exactly what to do, but they went their own way. When I first read this testimony, it just blew me away and gave me even a greater burden to pray for my people, Israel, who are lost without a true shepherd. There's a veil over their eyes. And because of tradition of man that has gone another way, the possibility, the hindrance of them to come to know their Messiah, it puts everything in the proper perspective. But I know this, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through the Spirit of the living God, is ministering and wooing them into their presence to remove the veil from their eyes. Only if they search, just as we have searched, with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, for the revelation and the reconciliation to God the Father. Praise be unto God. Continuing here. The theme of Yeshua being the first fruits of those who have died. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 and 23 declares this. But the fact that Messiah Yeshua has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died, for since death, a man. From just as in connection with Adam, all die. So in connection with his own order. The Messiah Yeshua is the first fruits. Then those who belong to Messiah Yeshua at the time of his coming. That speaks directly to us. And so the theme of Yeshua being the first fruits of those who have died, one of Shaul's consistent teachings, it appears in a number of his letters. Let's look at another letter here. Romans chapter 6 and verse 5 and 8 declares this. For if we have been united with him, who's the him here? Yeshua, in death like his, we will also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Now, since we died with Messiah Yeshua, we trust that we will also live with him. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And if the Spirit, the Ruach, of the one who raised Yeshua from the dead is living within you, then the one who raised Messiah Yeshua from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Through his Yeshua's Spirit, Ruach, now living within you. Romans 8:17. And if we are children, then we are also heirs of God and joint heirs with Messiah Yeshua, provided we are suffering with him in order also to be glorified with him. Going on to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 23. And not only it, but we ourselves who have the first fruits, the Spirit, the Ruach, grown inwardly as we continue waiting eagerly to make both sons and daughters, that is to have our whole bodies redeemed and set free. Verse number 29 of Romans 8. Because those whom he, Yeshua, knew in advance, he also determined in advance that we would be conformed to the pattern of his son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Verse 30 of Romans 8. And those whom he has thus determined in advance, he also called, and those whom he called, he also caused to be considered righteous. And those whom he caused to be considered righteous, he also glorified. End of scripture reading. One day soon we will receive our glorious, glorified bodies when Yeshua appears to take us. Praise be unto God, for his word is true. The Lord's own word from 1 Thessalonians 14:15. Probably something Yeshua said that is not recorded in the Gospels. Although we read this in Yohanan chapter 21, verse 25. And this is what it says there. But there were many other things that Yeshua said and did, and if they were all to be recorded, I don't think the whole world could contain the books that would have been written. That's Yohanan's testimony. Alternatively, Yeshua's guiding Shaul. He declares in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. This is what it says. For who has known the mind of Adonai? Who will counsel him? But we have the mind of Messiah. Continuing, as he thought about the questions troubling the Thessalonian messianic believers, namely, what would be their share in the events of Messiah Yeshua coming and rescuing them at the harpazo, the rapture. Praise be unto God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. Praise be unto God. For his word is yes and true and amen. And this is what it declares here. Verse 14. Who do not have nothing to hope for since we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, we also believe that in the same way God through Yeshua will take with him those who have died. When we say this, we base it on the Lord's own word. We who remain alive when the Lord comes will certainly not take precedence over those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a rousing cry, with a call from the one of the ruling angels, and with God's shofar. And those who have died with Messiah, united with Messiah, will be first to rise. Then we who are left and still alive will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will always be with the Lord. So encourage one another with these words. And this is what the Lord has spoken through his word in Yohanan, chapter 21, verse 25, the Gospel of John. Okay, I've already shared that portion there. Praise be unto God. This event, the harpazo, being caught at rapture, the coming of Yeshua in the clouds, for his bride, which consists of both Jews and Gentiles, one in Messiah, Yeshua to raise first those who have died and afterwards us who are still alive, is known in some Protestant circles as the rapture harpazo of the bride of Yeshua, his congregation, his church, made up of both Jews and Gentiles, one in Messiah. Although the word rapture, which means caught up, like the word Trinity, does not appear in most English translations of the New Testament, the word rapturo in Latin means caught up and is written in the Latin translation of the New Testament Vulgate Bible. The word harpazo, which is caught up, is written in the Greek New Testament, the same languages as in 1 and 2 Thessalonians were originally written. Praise be unto God. And we'll end on this verse right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 53. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian congregation. Look, I tell you a secret. In some translations, the word is mystery. Not all of us will die, but we will all be changed. It will take but a moment in a blink of an eye. At the final shofar, remember, God's shofar in the heaven that's blowing, What's the blowing for? For Yeshua to go to get his bride. For the shofar will sound, and the dead will be raised up to live forever. And we too will be changed. For this material, which can decay, must be clothed with imperishable building. This which is mortal must be clothed with immortality. Praise be unto God. So are you longing for your bridegroom to come? Are you allowing the Spirit of the living God to prepare you for his coming? We don't know what day or hour or moment. It can happen at any moment. But we should be focused on what? Not his appearing, not as his second coming, but going forth and fulfilling the will of the Father, and that is proclaiming the good news. So every extended family member, which is every man and woman and child on this earth, will have the opportunity that we have to receive Yeshua as the promised Messiah. May we be about our Father's business. May we be filled with compassion and love and grace. May we be renewed by the Spirit of the living God, directed and inspired, our mouths filled with God's word to proclaim to this lost and dying generation. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat shalom.